Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The Reverend Peter Lang is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Amen. 3 weeks now into our Monday series on Revelation, and we're still in John's introduction to the prophetic visions, though today we move on to the seven letters to the seven churches. For the next couple of months, we'll consider one by one John's short letters to these seven churches that were in Asia in his day, Christian communities in seven cities that were in modern-day Turkey: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Today we consider the letter to the church in Ephesus. But we should know before we begin that even though the unique personality or character of each of those Christian communities is reflected in the letter that was written to that community, still, these seven letters together as a unit were for all the churches of Asia. And these letters had application for all Christians who heard them, even as these letters are God's word for you and me today, and still have something to say to us. To the angel of the church in Ephesus. We're not going to get hung up here on what's meant by the word angel. Each of the seven letters begins the same way. Some take it to mean an actual angel. Others think it refers to the pastors of each of these churches, and still others understand it as a reference to the spirit, small s, of these churches. Regardless, these seven letters are clearly messages to the entire Christian community in each of these cities, as well as to the wider audience beyond. Ephesus. You remember that city. The Apostle Paul visited there briefly on his second missionary journey, and then spent 3 years there on his third missionary journey planting the church there. It was the most prominent and important of all of these cities mentioned in these chapters, with 250,000 residents at the end of the first century AD, at the time that John is writing. It was important because it was situated at the intersection of three trade routes. And also it had a long history of being the central place of worship in the world to the Greek god Artemis, same as the Roman god Diana. In fact, its temple to Artemis was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. At some point, John, the apostle and likely author of Revelation, moved from Jerusalem to Ephesus because he became the bishop of the church there. And because John ended up in Ephesus, one early tradition also says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, spent her last years in Ephesus. By the time John wrote Revelation in the 80s or 90s of the first century, he was on the island of Patmos, where he had been banished by the Emperor Domitian some 30 to 40 years after Paul first visited Ephesus. And Ephesus was now home to a brand new temple honoring the former Emperor Titus, who had destroyed Jerusalem and its temple, and also honoring Titus's younger brother Domitian, who was infamous for his terrible persecution of Christians, of which we hear echoes in this letter. That was Ephesus. And it's the Son of Man, the ascended and exalted Jesus Christ, who speaks these words to the church there. As we heard last week in chapter 1, Jesus, the Son of Man, is the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches, and who holds the seven stars in his right hand, which are the angels of those seven churches. And this is what the Son of Man says to the Christians of Ephesus. There are compliments, and there is a preaching of the law, just like we'll hear with the other six churches. First, the compliments. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. There are actually three compliments there, and a fourth one a little bit later on about the Nicolaitans. And in another sermon at another time, in another context, we could take to heart several of those others. But today, in the context of COVID, consider how you and I relate to the Ephesians in terms of their patient endurance. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, Jesus says. For the Ephesians, as I said, it was severe persecution under Domitian. And it doesn't take much to apply these words to our situation, does it? Just read the current issue of the Lutheran Witness. Or consider your in-person worship history since March 15th. Or what you're able to do and not do if and when you have been able to attend church. Or consider the same for your Christian brothers and sisters in other places around this country and world. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, Jesus says, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. What more stinging rebuke could there be? That's first commandment stuff. Your first love, it literally says, you've abandoned it. Does that arrow hit home for you like it does for me? Think of the high point in your life with God to date. What did the best stretch of daily devotions ever look like for you? How about church attendance? What about regular Bible class attendance? Did you ever have a time in your life when you just couldn't wait for the next church service to come around? Or were absolutely enthralled by what you were learning in Bible class? Or couldn't put your Bible down in your daily reading of it? And what about works of mercy for your neighbor, which flow from love? We love because He first loved us. Are your acts of mercy and your witnessing to others the best they've ever been? What about your standing up for the truth of God's word against hostile authorities, family, friends, colleagues? That too is a reflection of one's first love. By their fruit, you will know them. No, speaking for myself, the good that I would do, that I do not do. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You have lost your first love, Jesus says. If that's you, repent, Jesus also says, and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But know this also, that the Lord God planted the tree of life in paradise. And He attached blessing to that tree of life when He gave its fruit to Adam and Eve to sustain them. So also the Lord God caused another tree of life to be planted in the rock of Golgotha. And on that tree of life, He gave His beloved Son, Jesus, as the fruit of His boundless love for you, to patiently endure the full and just fury of God's wrath over sin, yours, mine, the world's. And the Spirit who spoke to the seven churches of Asia and who continues to speak to the church today through God's holy word and through His word made visible in the sacraments, this Spirit calls and gathers you and me to partake of the fruit of this bloody tree of life. To partake of its fruit by faith. As we are washed in the water that trickled down that tree from the Savior's side, and drink of the blood which stained its wood for our sin, and feast on the body that was pinned to that tree, that we might be made partakers of paradise, now by faith, and in the ages to come by sight. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Matt and Dee Dee Wasman, who served the Lord in South Korea. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.